From Los Angeles, California. From the land of Babylon. And that's a lot of babbling on. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, broadcasting from our house to your house. And thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. But if you're new to the show, just remember this. When you listen to the show, you turn the lights down low. And here she is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mother confessor, your ever so slightly twisted little sister, your daughter of the American Revelation, your horny housewife, and your friend. You know, I am your friend. And we are ending up our second day of the new year, 2008, if you're listening to us live. And if you want to talk to us about any aspect of your sexuality, we talk about sex, love, life, and death, politics, war, romance, the economy, miracles, faith. Brothers and sisters, we talk about all that here on the Dr. Susan Block Show. And if you want to talk to me, you can call me at 213-749-1330 if you're anywhere in the world. And if you're in North America, you can call 1-866-289-7068. That's 1-866-289-7068. That's our toll-free number. And we're back in Skype. We fell off of there for a moment. And so, if you're in Skype, you can put yourself into waiting, and I will put you into the talking area. And we're going to start out by experimenting with this person who is in waiting, who I have not been able to put into talking. Oh, okay, there he is, I think. It's a he, perhaps it's a she. Gutke in Silverborn, Germany. Hello. Magda, Magda.
Come in, Magda.
Magda. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Magda, okay, well.
We're not hearing her, okay.
I guess not. So, but we can move people around in Skype, which was something that I was a little concerned about. So you can move yourself around. You can move yourself into waiting if you want to talk. If you want to ask a question, tell a story, share a fantasy, make a New Year's resolution, make a New Year's prediction about the world of sex or politics, celebrity, philosophy. You have any predictions, any resolutions? Let's see, we have Guerrillo. Hello. Hello, Guerrillo. Zachary, Louisiana. Victor. Victor, hello.
I heard him for a moment.
Yeah, I heard him too. I heard him saying something. That's why I keep trying.
All right, well,
okay.
Let's go to the next.
All right, Victor. We're going to have to put you back down into listening.
Yeah, if you're new to Skype, by the way, especially Skype listeners, you can, if you want to talk to us, you put yourself in waiting, and then, you know, we'll pick you up from there and bring you into the broadcast section, and make sure that you've got, you can test actually.
The talking section.
Yeah.
They're all in the broadcast.
Right,
section.
And the talking, in the waiting section. From the
no,
waiting.
They put themselves into waiting.
Okay.
And then I put them into talking.
Ah, and then we put you into talking.
Waiting is a launch pad.
Right. So if you're in waiting, we might come and pick you out. And
right.
Put you in the talking area.
Victor is right. Back.
And make
maybe
sure
and
make sure
equipment.
That you test your equipment, which you can do. Make sure that Skype can hear you.
Victor, did you test your... are you back? Can you hear me? Can you speak? No, Victor still cannot speak. Hello,
Victor, come in.
Hello. Boy, there are so many people in the broadcast right now. Victor just popped out. People are moving quickly in here. They're just moving around. Back and
okay,
forth.
So let's talk until somebody can talk to us.
Well, all right. So let's see.
So what are we going to talk about tonight? It's the second day
of the year.
Okay.
Yes.
And we look forward to a great year.
Right? Yes, we do.
With a lot of sex.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully, a lot of pleasure sex and just, you know, a sort of a leveling off of the reproductive sex.
Right. And a new president here in the United States, as many of you are doing in your countries, replacing some of your dictators.
We are replacing our dictator.
We are also replacing our dictator and his criminal gang.
We're getting rid of Bush.
We're getting rid of...
Shaving him off.
Getting rid of the Bush.
Yep.
Right. And I know how much all of you love him over there, but... Unfortunately, we have to remove him.
We are chopping down the shrub.
In November. That's it.
And we are happy about it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it could be worse, but probably not.
No, it couldn't be worse.
No, it could be worse. It could be worse. Come on.
This has been the most...
We don't have a concentration camp right outside in the alley here.
No,
really.
But some of us are in concentration camps in Guantanamo.
Yeah, some of us are. But, you know, it's not as many people as could be.
Well, yes, because
some of us are still free on Radio Susie 1.
And there are 2.5 million people in prison here in the United States.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's true.
That's
could be 5 million, though.
Could be, but it's the biggest prison population in the world, so...
Well, it is kind of high.
So
we have
very
Ashish G. Ashish,
come in.
Okay, wait a second. We're putting him... Yeah. Hello, Ashish.
What are you doing?
What are we doing? We are talking to you right now. I see you are a very sexy boy.
Yeah, I'm a very sexy boy. And you are also a very sexy boy.
Thank you very much.
And where are you calling from, Ashish?
Ashish.
Yeah, what?
Are you smoking
what
some?
Where are you calling from?
Ashish?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
He's in India.
From India.
India. Okay,
Islamabad, India.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
What did you want to talk about?
I want to know about sex.
What would you like to know, Ashish? How can we help you?
How can I make sex?
How can you make sex?
There are many
ways.
Well,
you know, there is a phrase called making love, so why not making sex? And there are very many, many, many ways. Probably even more ways to make sex than make love. Whoa, what was that?
I don't know, but I'm...
A little making sex music?
I got my finger on the button.
Making sex music. Oops, he just pulled himself out of talking, so he could appear at any moment.
Right, all right.
Okay, so... Gosh, people keep popping in and out of waiting. I had Magda back in there, but now she's gone. So, So, now, you know, I'm going to go back to sex in the news here.
Yep.
You know. Malaysia's health minister quit his post yesterday after a sex scandal in which he featured in 2 pornographic videos where he was shown with a woman he described as a personal friend. Interesting. I mean, he admitted that he was in these videos. Shwa Soi Lek, 61, stepped down a day after conceding that he was the man shown indulging in various sex acts in the DVDs, which were widely circulated in the minister's home state of Johor. This is Malaysia, which is rather a conservative country, so I hear, but, you know.
Well, that's what they say.
That's what they say about every country,
right.
You know, in some level.
Everybody says, oh,
we're very conservative. Okay, but Malaysia still, you hear that a lot. You know, that's where they can't even chew gum in the subway, you know. Okay, so Chua, a former doctor who was married with three children, I don't suppose the woman in the pornographic video was his wife, had initially refused to resign after saying he'd apologized to the Malaysian Prime Minister Abdullah Badawi and his family, who had accepted his remorse.
Okay. And supported him.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't have made him resign either.
And he was in a porn movie?
He was in a porn movie, basically. A porn, but I don't know if it was a commercial porn movie.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of people are in porn movies these days. And a lot more will be when our hotel opens up.
Are you in a porn movie?
It's not going to be a big deal to find a porn tape of someone. I mean, this is a guy. He's obviously a very respectable guy. I mean, who knows what his politics are? I might not like them. I might not. I probably wouldn't. But I think that has to be aside. I think, you know, he did this and wasn't exactly brilliant on his part to participate in a porn movie and be a married,
everybody's
politician.
Doing it now.
Yeah, but it wasn't brilliant, I was saying, but it wasn't horrible.
No, it's a pretty revolutionary act in Malaysia.
Yeah, well, he was cheating on his wife, so
I don't appreciate that.
And I don't think his wife appreciated that, but he apologized. You know, she's probably embarrassed by it, and I don't think that's right. He embarrassed her.
Mm-hmm.
But he apologized to her, and that's personal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his family who accepted his remorse. But with a general election, he decided to spare the government further embarrassment. Oh, he just decided to do this and limit the political fallout in the conservative, predominantly Muslim country. The minister said he was relinquishing all posts, including his seat as an MP and vice president of the Malaysian Chinese Association, the second party in the ruling coalition. In a news conference, Chua bemoaned the fact that people could not accept his public apology. Well, so he was felt hounded out. I mean, he did it himself, but he obviously was being hounded.
Right.
Some Malaysians have a holier-than-thou attitude, he said. Well, some people do in every country. People have that holier-than-thou attitude, don't they? The two pornographic DVDs, I wonder if they'll be released on the Internet, one 56 minutes long and the other 44, began circulating late last week. I wonder if they were made without his knowledge, probably. You know, like that
could
maybe
be.
He saw some professional
be.
Women who made these things.
Could be.
I don't know. That would be interesting to know. I wonder if they'll say. The two pornographic DVDs, one 56 minutes long and the other 44, began circulating late last week. Many were left in public places for people to take for viewing, with a copy finally passed to Chua by a friend on Sunday. Oh, so this was done by his enemies. This was a trap.
This is political enemies.
Yeah, this is not a question of him being brilliant or
these
stupid.
Are dirty
this was
tricks.
A dirty trick. This was done by an enemy.
Right.
Yes. He was trapped. Poor guy. Now I feel sorry for him. I mean, he was still cheating on his wife, but still, I do feel sorry for him. The Malaysian media put the story on its front pages on Tuesday, forcing Chua to concede his role in the video. Well, that is him. That's more obvious than, I guess, a semen stain in a way. And reveal his apology to the Prime Minister. But Chua stressed he had not made the video and did not know who was behind the distribution of the material believed to have been recorded in a hotel room in southern Malaysia 2 years ago. So, you know, he didn't make the video.
Somebody did it. A tricky dick.
Someone tricked him.
Mm-hmm.
Chua has not filed a complaint with police, but officers are investigating how four hidden cameras were secreted in a hotel room. Well, not too difficult to do that.
Right.
But I guess all the Malaysian politicians are going to be a little nervous about doing it in hotel rooms now.
I would be.
Wow.
Mm.
At least with our place, the cameras are going to be out in the open.
It's consensual.
Right. Well, the cameras are consensual, right? He was consensual with the woman, but the camera part was not consensual. So I'm sure that was his political enemies that did that.
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
Well, you know, have you ever seen the advertising for Malaysia?
No.
It's very slick.
Yeah, Malaysia is a pretty slick country.
Malaysia, the time is now.
Aha. Uh-huh. The time is now.
Yeah.
The time is now. We see you with your panties down.
It's beautiful. Malaysian Airlines.
Yeah. Well, see, this also reflects on Malaysia a
little
bit.
It's very sexy.
But anyway, we're going to talk to somebody whose name begins with an M. We'll get back to Malaysia in just a moment, unless this person wants to talk about Malaysian sex. Mom616, hello? In India.
Hello, India.
Hello, India. Mom616, hello? You know, we have some real problems here. Okay, I'm going to move you down into listening and try Beaver Tails. That's a good name. Hello, Beaver Tails.
Hello, radio host. How is Dr. Susan tonight?
Very well, thank you. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
And how are those Beaver Tails?
What is...
how they wagging?
Oh, did you say my tail excites you?
I said, how are those Beaver Tails wagging?
Oh, they're just clapping away.
Beautiful. So...
what is the subject tonight?
You mean the Malaysian politician there, health minister?
We're a radio station in the search of a subject.
Well, we were just talking about the Malaysian's health minister was caught in a pornographic video.
Oh, my. He actually got exposed. You know, a lot of them run around doing things, and they just never get caught, you know.
I know. Of course they do. Of course they do. But this time, they put cameras in his hotel room while he was doing it with a quote-unquote personal friend.
So this had to be some kind of...
political enemy.
Opponent.
Yeah,
The political enemy who organized all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Probably with secret police.
Oh, this was a definite, you know, kind of organized job.
Yeah.
Well, if he was stupid enough to not protect himself, I mean, he deserves it.
Well, he was stupid in a way. I mean, he didn't... He cheated on his wife. That's not nice.
And if he knew the cameras were there, he could have put a condom on him.
Yeah, I don't think he knew those cameras were there. This was not a question of Paris Hilton kind
right.
of, you know, going, oh, I didn't know I was being filmed. Oh, hi. No, I don't think he knew. I think he was caught. I think
right.
this guy was just, you know, cheating on the wife. And just like, as you say, they all do. He was no different than a lot of them. But now they're all going to be checking their hotel rooms for cameras. That's going to be part of... you know,
so where
renting
you,
the room.
We're private investigators because you can hire a private investigator to scan your hotel room. And so they'll all be sending private investigators in to scan for electronic eavesdropping devices.
Wow. All this for a little, a little boink in the hay.
Well, if it means saving your career, why not?
You're right, you know.
I mean,
well, he's ready to retire now. He's 61, so
he
wants a new career as a porn star.
We just helped retire. We just pushed him a little bit there, and he's into retirement now, for sure, politically, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, he's the health minister, so maybe now he'll become he'll start hawking condoms on the air, something like that.
So where are you calling from?
Get back, and she'll be able to legally sue him for adultery, and she'll make a pile.
The wife. The wife has been shamed, obviously.
Right,
it's a shame thing. Although she's supposedly forgiven him.
She's forgiven him.
Maybe she's not shamed. She might have known all about this. Who knows? I mean, he's a doctor. He was a doctor. This is a health minister.
Right.
He's not much of a politician.
Hey, listen,
I mean, the health ministers are usually not very politically inclined.
Our health minister,
under Clinton, was fired
because she suggested
masturbation as a subject to discuss in sex education. And actually, our president should have followed her advice and masturbated instead of, you know, hanging out with Monica.
Playing with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I think these health ministers are actually on the cutting edge of something.
You know that once politicians have, first of all, they're generally wealthy individuals. The next thing they want after you have money is you want power. And then after you have power, you want control. Well, they've just stumbled, that's for sure.
Yep.
So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada.
Ah.
Canada, our neighbors
our
to
neighbors.
The north. Yes.
And we love the Americans, you know.
The Americans. Aren't you guys Americans?
Aren't you part of North America?
I thought this was North America. This was all America. But then
well,
again...
We're economically owned by the Americans. In that sense, we're American.
Right, right.
Well,
you have to call us something. Right. So you have to call us Americans. Or you could call us a lot worse, I guess, but...
Oh, no.
We love our neighbors who own us. Well, at least we're owned by China.
Well, actually, Canada is...
Well, that's the scary part now. That's a whole new topic you could have on your radio show about the road, the greedy industrialists who went to China in the first place, and now the tables are turned. They went for the cheap labor, and now they've given them the resources to flourish, and now...
Yeah,
they're going to be a world power.
Well, that is an ongoing topic on this show. Is our
the gentle rising
of China? So you know, we kind of are trying to get used to our new owners.
And of course, you know, I'm like an Italian. I'm all for the Chinese, I think, and they are. They're a great...
They make good food.
Yeah, they make good food. They're a great nation.
They make a lot of good, cheap stuff.
They're a great people, actually, and...
Except, you know, is the idea that we start working in those factories eventually? Is that what happens? The tables get turned?
Yeah, we work in their factories.
We're going to start
working... Yeah, just like we work in Japanese factories that are in North Carolina, in South Carolina, making cars.
Yeah, but in their factories in China, people work for like 10 cents an hour.
That's like us here at the speakeasy.
Actually,
well, that's
yeah,
true.
On average, we're 25 cents an hour. That's the average.
25 cents an hour. Okay, well, a little more. I was being, you know, extreme, I thought, but not too.
Well, that's about what I make here.
25 cents an hour.
If you add up all the hours.
What you make personally.
Yes.
Well.
But...
But, you know, you're not working in someone else's factory. Well,
no.
We are working in a factory.
We are working
factory.
In a factory, though. A big, huge, old garment factory.
Yeah. Well, we are.
All 16,000 square feet of it. And it gets cold in the winter and hot in the summer.
But and it's cold in the winter now.
Especially north of you, we're having minus 35.
Ooh.
The wind chill factor about minus 45.
Oh.
Yeah, but you see, there's the key difference, because probably everyone is thinking, what are Dr. Susie and Brother Dave complaining about?
Yeah.
They live in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. What is that sound? It sounds like the wind chill factor is right in the room.
It's our sound effects.
What is that?
Oh.
It's just a Skype thing.
It's a Skype thing, that whirling sound.
Yeah, that's all right.
Sounds like a storm.
That's why I love Skype. It's like being on a ship.
Yeah.
In the 1930s.
Well,
like,
but I mean, we have to accept this sound as
yes.
just, and it keeps growing.
Yes, I've tried to.
Yeah,
I've
the
tried
engineer
to,
says we, oh, wait, we just got rid of it.
Well, we don't know now.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's
How's
nice.
That?
Oh, that feels so good when you stop. Mm.
Go ahead, talk
Ooh,
to me.
Ooh, yeah.
Is that better?
That's better.
But can we hear our friend?
Hello? Beavertails.
Beavertails? Are you
there? There's Beavertails. Okay. So anyway, where were we? We were cold in Los Angeles because we're in a factory, and it's like living in a castle, and it retains the cold and the heat. So right now, it's probably... Well, it's probably like 50 degrees outside and 50 degrees. It's probably like 40-something outside, you think?
I have to get a thermometer for you. Not a thermometer.
Oh, well, I'll just check on weather, and then I'll be able to tell, you know, I'll know what it is.
Talking about China, do you realize that once the Chinese economically have risen to the salaried level that they can actually travel, and you have tens of millions of Chinese traveling to the States, well, just think, you'll be another China.
Well, it's a little bit like that downtown Los Angeles.
There's a lot of people that come here from China already.
Well, a lot of the businesses
and
in the building,
over, but
in
a lot
the building
of the
are owned by Chinese.
Oh, yes, and some of them are native Chinese, yeah. And then there was a guy who used to be above us who owned a business in China, you know. So we are already integrating with Chinese business here in downtown LA, and it is 56 degrees outside, which I mean, but it's like 56 degrees inside too. It's I mean, or colder. It seems colder. Maybe just because.
No, it's not that cold yet. It's pretty warm. I'm sweating.
You're sweating.
It's hot.
That's because you're a heater boy. And it's going to rain.
So, yeah, we're indebted to China for billions of dollars.
We are.
They're actually the ones that are... China and Japan are the ones that are financing our wars overseas.
Our murder and mayhem in foreign lands.
It's all funded by Chinese and Japanese yen and Chinese whatever they have.
And a few Canadian dollars, right? We use a few of those?
No.
No, no Canadian dollars.
No, it's mostly funded by Chinese and Japanese dollars.
Yen.
Yen, yep.
And whatever they
have.
Are
you still there? Did we lose you?
Beaver Tails?
Beaver Tails.
Okay, I think we lost Beaver Tails. So I'm going to move, and actually Victor entered the room somehow.
Victor.
Victor, can you hear me?
Come in, Victor.
Okay. No. And then we have Mom 616 again. Let's try Mom. Mom 616, hello.
Come in.
In India. Hello. Okay.
Okay, well, we know we can hear them, so...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we heard Beaver Tails fine. But then when you turned off that stormy sound, it's... maybe he got lost. Beaver Tails is back and waiting.
Okay, so we should be able to pick him up.
Hello, Beaver Tails. Hi.
Hello, Dr. Susan.
Oh, yes, hello. So we lost you for a moment there.
Yes, of course. Why don't we talk about the American presidential election?
Okay.
Oh, well, we'd love to. We started talking about it yesterday.
Okay, so,
we're
yes.
kind of, you know, it's kind of up in the air, but what do you think?
Well, Canadians, we're a little worried about that Hillary Clinton may get in on her husband's fame and reputation.
She may get in, and on a combination of factors. Her husband's fame and reputation are certainly a big factor. You know how we Americans like to vote for a familiar name. we want to vote for a name we voted for before. We like can't deal with new names. It's scary. So she has a familiar name, and we might just vote her in because of that.
And she has another very powerful thing, which I've been reading about in the news, especially in the first primaries in Iowa. A lot of people don't like her, but a lot of women, even if they don't like her,
they want to vote for her because she would be the first woman president.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I might even be one of them. I've thought about that, you know, that's a factor. So that is a very, very real factor, especially because the field of other top contenders is not exactly, tempting. I mean, it's not that inviting, right?
Not at all.
So you start to look and you, since you don't see anyone that really grabs you, you start to think, well, maybe I want to vote for the one woman, you know? It's just like when, if I don't know who, when I'm voting for people, like for the Yale officers or something, or for some other thing that I don't know anything about, and I don't know anything about the people, I'll often vote for the woman, just because, you know?
Out of racism.
Yeah, out of sheer racism. No, sexism. It's not racism. But yeah, I guess I do.
Right, so
I might be guilty of that because, you know, I mean, but, I mean, if all things are equal, and that's
well,
how
that's
a lot
what,
of people
what,
are feeling. That
that's what they think is going to bring her over in Iowa. Is that, and then we have...
And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, some people might, if all things are equal, want to vote for the black guy, so they vote for Obama. And some people might want to vote for the guy with, you know, curly hair, so they vote for, you know...
Is Iowa a Democratic or Republican predominantly?
It's pretty conservative, actually.
Iowa.
It's a farm state.
But they have that Democratic senator,
right.
Harkin, and he's pretty almost New Deal. I mean, he's an old-fashioned Democrat, Harkin.
They are pretty independent.
If he's still the senator.
Well, I don't know, but they're pretty independent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they pride themselves on being the first to look at the candidates, you know, sending a message to the rest of America.
We have two interesting things that are happening, various interesting things. But Obama, is that his name?
Obama.
Obama, of course, would be the first black either president or vice president. And usually the way it runs here is that I think they're going to be running.
You think that whichever one wins, the other one will pick that one as the vice president?
Yeah, and think about
they
this.
Want, they'll
this
want to join forces.
This is a radical step in American politics. A woman is president.
And a black man.
And a black man is vice president.
Or vice versa. It's pretty interesting.
Unbelievable. Unthinkable.
But it could very well happen. It's not really unthinkable at all. After all, and we do have Bush to thank for this, we had a black Secretary of State. We have had two. So, you know.
I don't know.
We can handle it. We can handle it.
I know in Canada that we're hearing stories that 72% of Americans are so thoroughly upset with Bush and how he has caused trillions of dollars of debt for the American people in his war machine, and that they are going to vote as a protest vote. They're going to vote for the Democrats.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I mean, the one thing that the Republicans do have going for them, though, is that you know Bush isn't running, and you know, people might feel they have to give the candidate a chance as an individual. But if they run this Huckabee, I don't know. He's like more Bush than Bush in a way. So is that his name? Huckabee? Mike Huckabee?
Huckabee? Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Giuliani, who has a lot of little problems. So I don't know that they've got a really good candidate. So, you know, that does point it to the Democrats. It's true. So
listen,
it could be Hillary's hour.
Listen, George Bush went into the desert and he took a poop in the desert. Okay? This man is a criminal. Dick Cheney is a criminal. Both of these people have used the American Army and our soldiers in a motive
for their
of profit.
Own personal aggrandizement.
Right.
And you know, Hillary supported it
and all,
but still she didn't start it. So, you know, I mean, and actually Kerry supported it. I mean, all these doofuses supported this war. Maybe not so much Obama. But he hasn't.
They only supported it because of the fact that it was the common consensus that it would be good for them politically to do that at the time. And then when they realized that the American tide changed towards the war, they were now then opposed to it.
Of course.
And so I personally take offense at that. I do. Because I was against the war, and I would like a candidate who was against the war to begin with, like a Kucinich. But Kucinich is not going to win, right? I mean, is that... callous to say. I mean,
he's
I'm also running for vice president myself.
He's not going to win.
You know, so, I mean, I have a not going to win campaign going, which I think is very valid, and I think all of the other candidates are valid, but America generally, number one, puts a front runner in the presidential seat, and it's amazing that there's a woman that's a front runner. And America generally puts somebody who goes to war. You know, sad to say, I am sad to say as an American, that my fellow Americans tend to go for the warrior and the, well, not really even the warrior, sort of the warrior, but more of the war maker. So.
Well, it's about a military-industrial complex, and that's what George Bush, I mean, that's what George Bush's grandfather
why,
was doing.
Yeah, and that's why these Democrats, you know, they thought that it was a good maneuver politically to go along with the war. Bush was very popular. 9/11 was fresh, and nobody knew the difference between Saddam and Osama. And, you know, they thought that this was politically
Saddam
smart.
And Obama now.
Now it's the difference between Saddam and Obama. But Saddam is dead.
Talking about the Iraqi conflict, most Canadians have an opinion that they feel that the United States dollar has been devalued as a result of the war. And the war, well, it's not really a war. It's really an armed conflict. It was never.
It's not even a it's an occupation. It was an invasion.
Yes,
and now
yes.
It's an occupation in the midst of a civil war that erupted because in our invasion, we removed the whole infrastructure. So,
yes.
You know, a civil war erupted in
way,
a country that was held
by
together
way,
by an iron fist, and we kind of, you know, destroyed the iron fist. So, but it's not a war. It's an invasion, an occupation,
and an illegal one.
Yeah. So.
It is.
It's embarrassing. It's so awful that I don't know. It's one of those things
that's
hard to deal with every day.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Staying in, and then when he didn't tote the line to the whimsy, they then opposed him.
Yeah,
listen.
Yeah. I guess he didn't toe the line in the way that they wanted him to.
Saddam was a CIA agent. We have to understand that he was created by the CIA.
And they often,
okay?
You know,
the other guy that we're fighting with, I forget his name now.
Who?
The guy we're looking for.
Osama.
Yeah. Is a CIA.
He's not the one running for president.
No.
Or is he?
He was a CIA agent.
Yeah, he was a CIA agent. Saddam was, you know, on our payroll,
yeah.
Essentially.
And he was a CIA agent.
A CIA agent? Sure, yeah.
In fact, a couple of weeks before the invasion, he actually turned to the CIA and he said, send the CIA in here. Let them find these weapons. I invite them.
Yeah.
He said that, you know?
And at the same time, he also said that he had more than he had because
right.
He wanted to scare his neighbors.
Right. And, you know, like a guy that has a small penis, he
right.
says, I have big balls and a big penis, and I got missiles, you know? But, you know, in the end, he really had nothing. I mean, if you really read about him and his last months, he was writing Hollywood screenplays.
Anyway.
But the Iraqi conflict has gone on longer than the entire Second World War, when you look at it.
Oh, absolutely.
For the number of years.
Yeah, and it's going to go on for a long time, because right now what George Bush has done, very smart boy, he has put 30,000 troops on every street corner.
Surge.
So the violence has gone down, but the minute that we walk out of there, as Saddam said, you're going to find out it's very hard to keep this country together.
By the way, more American soldiers were killed this year
in the Middle East than
I guess any other year.
And that is because the Iraqi people, are tired of the occupiers, and it's caused a civil war, and the factions, actually the tribal factions, which has been a problem. Saddam Hussein had kept them under control.
That's correct.
Yeah.
His ruling party. And then by removing him, mm-hmm. then there is infighting between the tribal infighting, Mm-hmm. And there's now a civil war.
But you know what the neocon strategy is. Destabilization
of the region. Destabilization of the whole region.
They want to destabilize the region. They essentially, you know.
They wanted to get into the White House to do that because they did not want oil to be under the hands of these Arabs who are very unstable. In the meantime, oil prices and gasoline prices in the United States are $4, and they're going to keep going up.
But see, the neocons, that I don't know that they care about that.
No, they don't care. They're profiting from it. Yeah.
Exactly. They profit from war. They're war profiteers.
Bush's family has been war profiteers.
See, what we started talking about earlier was that China makes everything. Well, the only thing the United States actually
makes
is war.
Weapons.
Right.
And they export weapons.
And yes. We're in the weapons business, we're in the war business, and this put a lot of people in the war business back in business.
Exactly. Once
right.
You shoot up a tank, you don't have to worry about warranties. But the thing is, Dick Cheney with the Halliburton is a big scandal, and there's a big cover-up as to his wrongdoing.
Yeah, yep. It's very disheartening. It's true. I mean, they did sacrifice Dick Cheney's assistant, Scooter Libby, but then he was not pardoned. But what did Bush do? He kind of let him off, so he didn't have to serve.
Right.
He didn't have to serve
like normal criminals.
No. So, I mean, yeah, they're criminals. We were talking last night about whether, you know, they would be somehow taken to task in some way. I mean, it's you know, there's a movement to impeach Bush and Cheney. There was a demonstration here yesterday at the Rose Parade with Cindy Sheehan leading the demonstration. So there's a lot of people that would like to see that happen here in America. Maybe even a majority of people, but I don't think there's enough people in Congress that are willing to go out on that limb.
Well, not
right
in Congress. But,
but Congress is what impeaches.
But I do.
Congress would impeach over a blowjob, but not over, sinking America into a war hole.
But once they're out of office and do not have executive protection.
No insults meant to Andy Warhol.
Yeah. They could be held liable, and I think that eventually they will be tried. I do believe that.
We hope they live long enough.
Well, if not, just the idea that they're about to be indicted is good enough.
It would be nice.
Yeah, these are nothing more than criminals. They're no worse than...
Well, they're more than criminals. They're war criminals. One thing to, you know, be a personal kind of criminal. But this is war crime. I think that's a level lower in hell.
Listen, at this point, we've killed almost more people than Saddam did. All right?
In just that area.
Yeah. And that's a really terrible thing as an American to have that kind of blood on my hands because this guy went to the desert and took a shit.
But not only did they, you know, 90-1 they've killed the Iraqi people, but look at the number of soldiers that have died, and their lives were shed because of this conflict. Who started this conflict? It was the American president, who, at the pushing and urging of the military industries to get cracking and use a lot of equipment and create a conflict so you can use all this equipment. They've taken so many lives.
And incidentally, not by the military. The military didn't want anything to do with this.
And
it
created
was,
so
you're
much.
Right.
Created
it was
so
the military,
much, the military
industries.
And the military industries. As
Eisenhower said in his last speech, he says the enemy
is
the military-industrial
complex.
Exactly. This is what I mean.
Yeah.
So
it's the greed. And it is not, I have respect for the military. They're only obeying their commander. The commander has to take responsibility for what he's done.
Well, the commander regards them as cannon fodder.
And he regards himself as the buck stops here. And once this guy's out of office, I think there's going to be a big push among many of us as patriot Americans who say this man does not represent us, never represented us,
and
must
be tried as a war criminal.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I think, you know.
But that will never happen because he was a president and you never tried a president as a war criminal.
There's always a first time.
He's gone beyond.
Yes.
He's gone a bit beyond.
He's gone a bit beyond. He's put the country in massive debt. He has sullied the
reputation of the United States. You know, we had a decent reputation as of 9/11.
Fairly decent.
Decent. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's ups and it's downs. Whenever you're the lone superpower, you're going to have your, you know, your detractors. But
it's another issue here.
Certainly one
well.
Of the detractors was whoever knocked into the building, unless you believe that, of course, you know, the conspiracy theories.
Right.
But that's a whole other issue. But since 9/11, you know, with the bombing of Afghanistan, you know, that went on and on and on without finding Osama and just kind of messing up the country without really fixing anything and not really getting rid of the Taliban.
And the biggest drug trade ever, Susan. Mm. From Afghanistan.
It's happening now.
Bigger than ever before.
Yeah, it's huge.
Huge.
So, you know, that's what was accomplished there. And in Iraq, an even bigger mess. So...
there is another issue out of all this that most people perhaps are not thinking about. We're concerned, as Canadians, we're thinking that the Bush administration has not only... He has spread the military resources too thin, because what's happened now is the mega trillion dollar debt has weakened the United States economy.
Of course,
Has demoralized the people over this Iraqi conflict, and the major issue now is the United States would not be able to defend its. Really, if there was another type of conflict in the world.
Of course not.
Well, we saw what happened during Katrina. It was like a little example of that, because the guys, the National Guard
was not there.
They were in Iraq. The National Guard could not help the people of Louisiana, could not help the people of New Orleans. They couldn't defend their own people against nature and help them, you know. So, I mean, yeah, of course, if anything happens, National Guard is not here because they have to go over there because there's not enough people that want to go over there.
And as you tell this story, I just do want to say this because I know there's a lot of people listening, not only in Skype, but also on the Internet. Judge us not by the president, because there are many patriotic Americans that have been against this war from the very beginning, no matter what they called us.
Oh, absolutely. In the very beginning, this war had some of the hugest protests ever.
Millions of people around the world protested this illegal invasion.
And yet, at this point, it's like we've settled. Even I have to admit myself, I haven't written so many articles. I haven't written any articles because, I mean, what do you write now? You've written all there is to write about how terrible this war is, and, you know, you just kind of get into this state of inertia.
Well, it's also inertia because finally, this guy,
we're getting rid of this guy.
We're getting rid of
this guy. You almost don't
even
want to give him any more ink.
And
you don't want to mention his name anymore.
And
get him out of here.
Although he has not been tried in a court of law, he has been tried in the court of public opinion.
Yes,
and that is
it. He didn't care. He didn't care because he's a lame duck president in his last term.
Right.
Lowest ratings. It must be a little embarrassing.
he's
lowest ratings a president's ever had in the United States.
He's just a petty criminal. He might as well.
Yeah, we should have taken him at his word when he said he didn't really want to be president.
He didn't really care to be president.
Yeah.
He just said that in the beginning.
And that was true.
And we may have found Saddam in a hole, but George is going to live in a hole in Texas, away from anyone, guarded by police dogs and...
He's got to be very well guarded.
So he's going to be in a hole in Texas.
And you know what? The funny thing is, you know, he needs to be guarded against, you know, crackpots, just like Clinton does, just like any politician needs to be guarded against crackpots and extremists that want to kill him. But what Bush needs to be guarded against, even after he leaves office, is protesters.
Right.
I don't think Clinton needs to be guarded against that. Bush needs to be guarded against the embarrassment of being hounded by people calling him a fool and a murderer. See, Clinton doesn't have to be guarded.
And the village idiot.
No, you know, ex-presidents don't have to be guarded against that.
No.
That's what Bush needs to be guarded against. And he will need to be guarded against that for the rest of his life.
Yeah. That's very true. That's very true.
So in many ways, as a patriot American, I feel that even though he hasn't been tried yet, he has certainly been tried in the court of public opinion, and that court is a massive worldwide court that sees him as one of the criminals of history.
And kind of a little bit like O.J.,
mm-hmm.
like somebody we know did it and got away with it, and I think he's kind of a much worse than O.J., really, in a way. But, I mean, O.J. is pretty awful. He's like a butcher.
He only killed two people.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. But in any case, it's sort of similar in the sense that Bush seems to be getting away with it. O.J. got away with it. But he's hounded his whole life.
By the way, his wife got away. You know this story about how she killed her ex-boyfriend?
Oh, Laura.
Laura?
Yeah, Laura Bush. Do you know about that story, Beaver?
No.
Well, it's an interesting piece of
on a
Laura lore.
On a Texas
road. Here's what happened when she was 17 years old on a Texas road. With nobody on it except her and her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend, and he wound up dead.
They collided at an intersection.
And she didn't ever have to... do a day in jail. So, you know, she seems like just sweet Mary and Madam Librarian, but, you know.
What would they do?
She got away with murder. Or at least, you know, manslaughter.
The question is to help you to answer it because you're American and we're Canadian. The question on the Canadians' minds are, we're not getting the truth about the September 11th.
Of course not.
Planes that crashed, we know that of the 14 or 18 hijackers, to at least 12 of them were Saudi citizens.
Right.
That's more a coincidence. Why is it that it was never, no fingers were ever pointed at the Saudis? Is it because of their oil and not to offend them because of the Carlyle Group.
The Carlyle Group.
Because we're friends with the Saudis. That's why. Because especially the Bush family is friends with the Saudis.
And partners.
Perhaps
of
in the whole
Bin Ladens.
Yeah, and of the Bin Ladens.
The only planes, the Bin Ladens
were allowed out of the country on planes.
Yeah, the only plane that left this country.
In those few days after 9/11, were planes taking the Bin Laden family out of the country.
Yeah.
So, hey. It's a rich tapestry. Family values. That's what they call it. But this is a kind of a Corleone family that's called the Bush family. And they operate with the Saudi family, you know. And that's a family. It's family stuff.
And they have
You know, Saddam was not part of the
family.
Osama's part of the family. That's why he's not, you know, he's still... walking around with
and
his...
He's a Saudi,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And he went to American universities, and he was educated and had involvement, very major involvement with the U.S. government. We know that.
He was on the payroll of the CIA.
So there's something that's not being told the truth. How do you get at the truth? This is the question. How is it that you're going to get the truth?
Well, this is a very metaphysical question, Beaver Tails.
Well, you know, I don't think
it
is.
I mean, the truth.
I think the truth is very simple. The truth is, and we talked about this on Paris Radio, the truth is, listen, motherfucker, we're taking your oil, okay? And we're invading.
But we being who? Not really American
not
citizens
American
like
citizens.
You and me.
No, no.
Although we have a lot of plastic.
The Bush crime family.
The Bush crime family and their relatives
and if
and
you
cronies.
Look, right. And the Bin Ladens.
The Bin Laden is is an associate family of the Bush family.
They're partners. They've been partners.
They've been partners in the Carlyle Group. You know, they might quit and say, "Oh, it doesn't look good to be, you know, so obvious." And then they put somebody else
but
in this.
The truth is, they're both oilmen.
And they work together.
Right.
They're not even rivals.
No, not at all.
I think there might be some substance in the allegation that the American government truly doesn't want to actually capture Bin Laden.
Not at
Bin
all.
Oh, of course they don't. If they did, I mean, they would.
Secrets that we don't want revealed.
Let me tell you this. What I believe, and this is far-fetched, they are actually protecting him.
Yes.
I believe that too.
No.
He's in a protection program.
Yeah, he's in the
witness program, yes.
He's in the witness protection program, which we in America know very well, okay? The Bin Ladens and their partners, the Bushes. This is
he's much better protected than Bhutto, obviously, and,
right.
And he's probably in somewhere in Pakistan
and
or
that's
China.
That's the truth. And once we know that and we admit to that, then it's all very easy. You're a bunch of criminals. You got to get out of here. You got to be put on trial. Okay.
So what is going to happen though once if Bush does leave? I guess he's leaving.
He's still protected.
Yeah, but he's still protected. But what I mean is this country has been decimated by Bush. Now
decimated.
What, I mean, somebody's got to pick up the pieces.
Now we have to rebuild.
And that's why, I mean, Hillary might be good for that. She's got, you know, a lot of that.
She's going to win.
Can-do feminist attitude.
She's going to win, and also she's not dumb, okay? So she's not going to come out with any radical statements. It's when she becomes president that then she will do her work. I believe that truly.
Well, that is often the way that the left flank believes.
Right.
And to some degree that will happen, and to some degree we will be disappointed in her. That's what happened with her husband.
But we'll have Billy in there.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, hey.
That's the other
he
thing.
He wasn't perfect, but he was a lot better than the Bush crime family.
Right. I mean,
he is well known to have been and is a very intelligent intellectual.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Speaker,
and I was going to say, and much better than, you know.
He just unfortunately got caught with his zipper down.
And being sex therapists, we have to be very sympathetic to that. As we were being kind of sympathetic to this Malaysian health minister, I mean, yes, it is stupid. Yes, it is a mistake. It is. Mm-hmm. Somewhat immoral. I say somewhat because it's not like the immorality of these wars. But it's a lot of a lesser failing than what we're talking about in the Bush-Cheney regime.
And it's not murder. It's dipping Cuban cigars in a pussy.
Hey.
What, may I
tasty.
Say something? I think that Hillary Clinton will probably get in unless there's new runners-up, because first of all, the Republican who is a Mormon that's running, because the Mormons are hated, he'll never get in.
He'll never get in.
And
oh,
then,
yeah, the Mormon thing is a little too weird.
Then, I mean, I am a Mormon, all right? I am
oh, you
Mormon,
are? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, listen.
But the thing is...
How many
is
wives
I'm not
do you have?
No. I'm not fanatical. The thing is that the American people, and even the worldwide people, have a dim view of the Mormons, so that guy's never going to get in. Then, secondly, if you take someone that sounds like a tree hugger name, he's not going to probably get in.
And then you got... Go ahead.
So really, realistically, people are going to think, and they're going to say, look, if Hillary isn't too smart, her husband's right there, he's got the experience, he's been in office, he'll be there basically running it, and she'll be the figurehead, so let's go with her.
Yeah.
What do you think?
And it's also, he's the first, what is he,
yeah,
what, he
yeah.
what would he be called?
He would be called the first husband. It would be fun to have the whole twist and the whole turnaround. You know, I mean, even the media might go for it just because it would be such a kick to have a female president.
Yeah, and there's another really interesting thing, is because I do believe that Osama is under some kind of protection program, that a new president
might find him.
Might say,
okay,
listen,
that's it.
I know where you are because I get the secret reports every day.
And that's
okay,
it.
And you're at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, and we're going to come in there and get you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
yeah.
better slow down, motherfucker. And
as you know, witness protection programs can come to an abrupt end.
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Oh,
they're
yes.
expensive to keep going.
And
they
often
expensive.
Do.
But it's obvious. It's clearly obvious to any intelligent
this
person.
This guy's being protected.
Osama, and of course he is. Because, A, the thing is, With the combined resources of the world allegedly supposed to be after this guy, there's no way you can hide anywhere on Earth.
No way.
And these people in Pakistan and Afghanistan are so poor that when you wave millions of dollars as a reward for the capture of Osama bin Laden, they would turn in their own mother for that money.
Oh, of course.
So obviously, he is being protected, and really,
by the very people that are supposed
listen,
to be after him.
I think that Susan
yes.
is correct. She came up with a theory last year that Osama is actually in China being protected.
That's one theory.
Where nobody can get to him. No, but I believe that, because China is a co-conspirator.
And nobody's looking for him there.
In this whole thing.
And he worked with China.
And China wants nothing more than upset the balance of power in the Middle East.
But there would have to be cooperation with U.S.
Intelligence. Oh,
which
absolutely.
So it's a kind of U.S. witness protection
program. This guy needs a dialysis machine, okay?
Right. Yeah.
All right.
So,
there is a theory amongst Canadians that Bin Salman al-Laden, excuse my pronunciation, but they believe that the reason why he's being protected by the American government is because if he was revealed, the war would almost seemingly stop. So to perpetuate the war,
absolutely.
They have to hide him away somewhere.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
Yes. Well, if we caught him, then we could stop.
In order to have a war, the Germans knew very well, you have to have an enemy. And if we caught him...
Except that I think Americans are getting a little sick of him being on the lam like this. I mean, I don't know how many Americans, except for the truly brainwashed...
I think most Americans laugh and say he's in the witness
yes.
protection program.
Mm-hmm. Well, do they laugh or are they angry about it?
I don't think they're angry about it.
Well, that's the problem. They're not angry about it.
It's just the truth. So the truth.
See, that's what Bush counts on, are Americans who just laugh and go, well, yeah,
right.
You know, he's on the witness protection program, and they're kind of co-conspirators.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have.
I really feel. That although I don't really particularly like Hillary Clinton, I think that she is going to be the most favorable, logical candidate for office. She's a woman. She'll get the female vote. She is also a Democrat. And
but remember,
of the war, Democrats are going to have favor. And when you look at the opposition she's up against, there's no one else really viable.
No. And, I mean, we got Giuliani, the mafia guy. You know, we got this Huckabee, we got these people, but we also, have female power. That's one of the things that's going to bring her over. We've got Billy Clinton in the background, who's going to be her advisor. Okay. Exactly.
She's got a daughter who's gotten much better looking over the years.
Yeah, she's gotten much better looking over the years.
Right.
And she is going to be in the seat of power, and she's going to be able to know where Osama is.
And her daughter goes to Stanford.
Ah.
So California will get some attention.
Right.
California has been languishing in the Bush years. You know, Bush doesn't like to come to California. Californians are going to get way behind Hillary.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah, I don't like a lot of things about Hillary. Hillary, you know, there was one thing that really pissed me off about her, this little thing. She came out against a video game that showed a couple having sex.
No,
because she said that that was pornographic,
right.
And it was just so ridiculous because the video game was so violent.
With the husband that she forgave for sticking cigars up.
No, I know. I just thought it was, I didn't like that. And, Skype has just encountered a problem. Are you there, Beaver? Can you hear me?
No, go back. We're almost done.
Okay.
But try and get back, so...
I'm going to try to get back on, because Beaver was fun to talk to, but we are almost done. So, but Hillary, she does bug me about certain things, and of course, mainly about her support of the Iraq War. But ultimately, at the moment, with the field such as it is, if Frank Moore can't be president, and he would be the best person for the job in the entire field, I think Hillary would be an interesting choice. If he can't be, he should be in her cabinet or something. She might be an interesting choice, Hillary. Have a woman in the White House. So, yeah, I know. So you're listening to Radio Suzy 1.
Can you talk a little louder? We're fading away.
Yeah, yeah. Hello there. Okay, now he's gone. Can you hear me?
I'm very weak. It's very faint.
Very faint. Okay, I'm trying to join my Skype cast right now, Beaver Tails. And
all right. Well, we've had a wonderful chit chat.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. You know what? We can hear you. It's funny because we're not in the Skype cast.
We don't have control of it.
Oh. Okay. All right. So I guess that it's swimming around in the airwaves right now. I don't know whether we're in or out of it. It doesn't look like we're in it. But there's his voice again. It sort of goes in and out and in and out of the...
Can you hear me, Dr.
Yes,
Susan?
I hear you now. I hear you now. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Do you hear me,
yes,
Beaver?
I hear you very clearly.
Okay.
So it was very nice chatting with you. I'll move down to listening.
Okay.
And,
we're going to be ending the show rather soon anyway, because we're going to go for an hour tonight. So you take care of Beaver Tails. By the way... Beaver Tails?
Yes.
Oh. What kind of work do you do?
I'm here.
What kind of work do you do?
I have, if you look at www.markdixon.com, you'll see my American site. I have an online store.
Mark Dixon, as in D-I-C-K-S-O-N or D-I-X-O-N?
Yes.
D-I-C-K.
D-I-C-K-S-O.
Okay, markdixon.com. Okay, we will check it out. And you gave yourself a plug. Oh, we're back on. Whoa. Okay, Beaver Tails.
Thank you so much. That
okay.
was really great.
Keep the faith.
In
peace and in change. Keep the faith in your American neighbors making some changes. We have laid a big poop under the leadership of Bush and family. But
we have a police officer from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Should we talk to him?
Well, you know, how much time do we have?
We're at 1 hour and 9 minutes.
Okay, we should end
because
I have a lot of work to do.
Okay.
And we should have the police officer call us back tomorrow night.
Tell him to call back
tomorrow night. Tell him to call back tomorrow night because we got to go. I got a lot of work to do. I got a blog to write.
There's so much stuff everywhere.
What was that, Beaver Tails?
It was so nice to chat with everyone.
Well, this was definitely the Beaver Tails show.
Yeah.
All right. So you
Thank
take
you
care.
So much.
Talk to you later. See you in the next Skype cast. Okay, so we've got some people in waiting, but since
we wouldn't talk to the did we change the show?
Police officer, we're not going to talk to you either. But no, we are going to play a recording for you that will be very, very interesting.
So if
you were going to just listen anyway, I would advise you to stick around, stick in the Skype cast. We're going to have a very, very interesting recording of an AeroStay show. AeroStay is coming.
It's coming up.
AeroStay is going to be held this year on January the 19th.
Right.
It is a day when we celebrate the great god Eros, god of lust and life itself. Yes, Eros blew the breath of life into all creatures at the beginning of humankind, at the beginning of life. So says the classical Greek myth. And we are celebrating Eros the god. We also celebrate Eros the planetoid, which comes closest to Earth at this time of year. And Eros the planetoid is, of course, shaped like what the astronomers call a banana, but I find to be shaped like that delicious part of a gentleman's body that I love to play with. So that's what Eros Day is, also a celebration of play and planets. It is an astronomical holiday as well as a holiday celebrating the spirit of Eros in our lives, the erotic spirit that motivates us. The spirit of Eros as opposed to Thanatos, out with the old bush, in with the new regime.
In with the new bush.
Yeah, the new bush might belong to a woman.
The female bush.
Out with the old bush, in with the new bush, the bush of a woman, perhaps, to sit in the White House.
It was a great broadcast.
Yeah. So we'll be back again tomorrow night.
Great.
In the meantime, be good, be happy, try not to hurt anyone, including yourself. Make like the bonobos, not the baboons. Make love, not war. Masturbation, copulation, even fornication, but not occupation, please. All right, so make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Mm-hmm. From our house to your house, thank you for having us. And right now, we are going, if you're on the internet, of course, or if you're backstage, you can watch the video and also listen, or you can listen for free. At drsusanblock.com, that's Dr. Susan Block, B-L-O-C-K, just like running around the block. And you can listen to the radio for free. You can pay to watch the video that goes with the sound. And in the next hour, we're going to play a pre-recorded show for you. You can hang out in Skype if you'd like, or just go do your thing. Thank you for having us, and peace, and remember this, lay down your arms and hug someone. You're listening to Radio Suzy 1 on the World Wide Web, and we're going to continue with our broadcast.
No, don't mar up your skin. I'm doing great. Oh, that's wonderful. You look great. Suzette, you look beautiful and so very different than last time.